Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Our guest today has a story that she wants to share. As a child, Cindy Breck is a Christian who grew up struggling through school. She is diagnosed with learning disabilities, dyslexia, and had to attend, you know, the learning disabilities class, but she never let that hold her back. She became a recreational therapy technician that helped the mentally challenged and elderly folks, and she's incorporated some of those experiences into her stories as well. If we fast forward now, she met and married the man of her dreams. They purchased a 200-year-old mill and built their home out of a blacksmith shop. Now, that's not something you see every day. And Cindy enjoys her writing and sets a struggling affection and tension-building pace in her writings, full of conspiracies, intrigues, little twists on historical facts mixed in. All of this involves the mysterious ancient world in her Theron's series of books. Her first book in the series is titled The Secrets Beneath the Scars. Not stars, scars. Although not released as of today as we do this interview, it will be soon. Amen. Help me welcome to the program, Cindy Breck. Cindy, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today and share all about this. I've been looking forward to this interview.
I am honored to be here and thank you for the invite.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Cindy Breck?
Well, I have been described as many words. One is bubbles, energetic, fun-loving. I think my kids might say I'm strict, but that's the mommy me. Cindy Breck, the author, though, is a legend sleuth. I like to search down legends. I like history. I like to search things in the history of things because I think history is so prevalent to even our future present moment that we're in now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Cindy Breck is just somebody that loves to write, somebody that loves to teach, loves to talk about things that are logical, that make sense. And my journey.
Amen. Now, you know, I want to cover this first because I think it's important for our listeners to hear this before we get into some other topics. Your books are not, let's just say, quote unquote, Christian books, but, you know, they do have a dark side to them. And as a Christian, why are you writing fiction books revolving around evil and mystical things?
Well, actually, that's the interesting thing. It's actually not really mystical. I have a lot of science base back in my book series. I have a character, though, that she does get visions. I kind of sit back and think of Daniel now. Daniel got visions and stuff. But in my mind, I justify it because evil is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in fiction, I think it is essential to expose the bad, to show people in like a morally questionable actions. And I don't glorify evil in my stories, but evil exists in the world. Evil is as real as God. It is crucial to present real human experiences in telling stories. Otherwise, readers will not engage with the story. Fiction needs to reflect reality. The story needs realism, authentic characters, and a realistic storyline are essential. True evil, the conflict between good and bad, are necessary to evoke hope. Ultimately, there are lessons to be learned on how to deal with evil. None of us can deny there's an evil in the world While I refrain from romanticizing evil, you can't ignore it exists. I aim to illustrate, even in my book series, and even in my life as an example, how God will win over evil when grounded in logic and actually the truth. And so my series, yeah, it's a young adult fantasy romance. It's PG-13, in that range. I would definitely not say it's rated R. It already means I don't have sex. I don't even take the Lord's name in vain in my book series, which a lot of people do. But there's violence, there's kidnapping, there's darkness and stuff like that. But I've tried to stay away from the mysticism as best as I could. Some mysticism is different for each person and perspective, but I've really tried to stay away from that and focus on the actual science end of things. And it's actually pretty interesting how each book ends with some relevance to science.
Amen. Amen.
So.
And yeah, and it's true. I mean, we have evil all around us at
We
all
do.
times, you know. And you know, the good news is we can overcome evil. Praise
Yeah.
God.
Well, and I will tell you, I actually have the grandfather in my book series who is a Christian, who does share his Christian perspectives.
Amen. There you go.
He does share that. I don't preach in my book series because I have learned that even though I'm a Christian, I'm not a Christian author. You're going to be better off reaching some of the mainstream market people if you let them know just a little bit of something, and
Exactly.
something that's got quality, something that's got integrity. You know, I can't put my books on a Christian market. I could put them on the mainstream, but they have integrity in them, you know. And I've had Christian people read them that are professional authors, and they love them.
Yeah.
So.
So, you know, we call that a seed. You're just planting the seed, and then someone else come along and water it, and somebody else will come along and harvest it. But somebody has to plant that initial seed. Amen. Praise
Well, like
God.
even in my life, you know, growing up, you know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I had my grandparents that planted that seed,
Yeah.
you know, and it flourished. You know, I struggled. I wasn't saved until late 20s and baptized in the third my 30 when I was 30th 30. But how do you say, everybody in your life, every situation in your life, ultimately there's a plan and a purpose for God in your
Amen.
life to bring you to a
Absolutely.
point to where you bring glory to Him.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And you know, I hope that in my journey that I've done that. So
Yeah. Amen.
how I've raised
So
my kids and stuff, you know.
as you were growing up, you know, you're a Christian, but growing up, you struggled in school. At what age did you find out you had a learning disability and were dyslexic?
Actually, it was sitting in my third grade classroom when we got switched from Edison School over from Taft over to Edison, my twin sister and I, and I'm in this reading class, and everybody's reading in third grade, and I'm just like, it didn't sink to me in third grade that I should be reading at this, be able to flip through pages like they were, you know. And it's like, then my teacher, who was very Delaine, I call her by her first name because she grew to take us to church and stuff like that. But she would sit down and she'd work with me, and she figured out that I had dyslexia. And it's more for me, dyslexia was more evident when I got flustered. But in third grade, I was always flustered because I was never at that point of being where everybody else was at. You know what I mean? And then in fourth grade, I was in learning disability classes all the way up till seventh and eighth grade, tutoring classes and everything. But I just learned not to let it hold me back. I had really good positive influences in my life, you know.
Amen. That's why I said, look at you now, writing a series of books. Praise God. Did you use writing as a way to help overcome your disability?
I think I used writing initially as kind of like therapy. It was like when my kids went to school, I was like, what do I do? My husband and I discussed that he wanted me to stay home and stuff with the kids, and I was like, I wanted to be this career woman, and he was like, well, can you think about this? So we weighed out the logic of it and what was best, and he definitely made more money than I did. So I stayed home. Well, I wanted to do something constructive, so I always wanted to write. I was an avid reader, so I got into writing. And still, with my agent today, Jonas, he always says to me, Cindy, you just put the words on paper, and he says, you leave the punctuation, the grammar to me. He says, I'll take care of that stuff, you know? And so I'm like, okay, because I don't do that the best. And I transpose things. I do send stuff to him a lot better than what I initially did when I first met him 4 years ago. But I still struggle with it.
Amen. So who says God can't take someone that everyone else says, no way, when he's always the one that says, I am the way. Amen. I mean, he gave you this gift. Praise God. And I'll go ahead.
No.
Okay.
I do see it as a gift.
Yeah, amen.
There's research that dyslexics have a way of perceiving things differently and visualizing things differently. I've done so much research on it because research was my way of learning how to overcome things. And it made me that much stronger in my identity.
Amen.
But
Yeah.
yeah,
Amen.
so it
I
helps with your
understand
writing.
your grandmother is the one who continued to impart a little encouragement to you along the way. What does she say that stuck with you?
Don't give up on yourself. Believe in yourself. You know,
Amen.
she had this way of she, you know how like some people can just pat you or something? She had this way. She said something and she put her hand on you and she'd pat you and then she rubbed it with like firmness, with like a grip of, I believe in you. You know, and her words have very much inspired me to continue to grow, even still today. You
Amen.
know, I also had a great mom too, but my grandmother was, she was what I would refer to as awesome.
Amen. Amen. So tell us about your series, The Therons, and about the first book in the series, The Secrets Beneath the Scars. What are these about?
Well, let me say this. The whole series does take place in an actual place. And a lot of it is initially grounded in the first book in that watermill that I told you that we owned, 216-year-old watermill. And that was part of the inspiration. But it's about a teenage girl who is dyslexic. It doesn't necessarily show throughout the whole series, but her visions, she gets them. But she has a way of not interpreting things right, not having confidence in herself, but she's plagued by these visions and she sees them as a curse. But she's desperate to find out the origins of who she is, why she is, why she was gifted with these powers, not one, but plural, and how she could use those to better her situation and to better her world. But she learns through this that her secrets are chained to another person's past. And that just happens, and that's the hero of the story. And that just happens to catapult them both on this journey where they find a conspiracy. They unearth this conspiracy. And the further they dig and they learn things, they're finding a world that's soaked in archaeological mystery. They're going through books, tomes, and then there's little, one of my favorite words is a quinker-dinker, like a mythical creature that likes to cause havoc. I call him the tool bandit, but he shows up in the first book. He doesn't reveal himself till later, but you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in this book, but The interesting thing is, while all this is going on in the back alleys, there's this charismatic schemer who gives orders to kill because death is his weapon of choice. So, like I said, it's not all sweet and flowers and stuff. And in this underground vaulted library, this rare mystical creature helps her solve her visions and helps her solve this mystery that she's dealing with, as in her identity. But that's where book one ends, because I was fortunate that I've got book two and book three actually written.
Yeah, I was gonna
So.
say, I know you've written a couple of them, and from what I've read, none are published yet. When do you think
No.
that'll happen?
Well, my agent is actually pitching them right now to publishers. So everything right now is in his hands. So we'll see where that goes. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he unearths. So
Amen. Amen.
so
And
he's a good guy. So
amen. And from what I read, you enjoy taking some facts and then twisting them just a little bit to build the tension and the intrigue of the stories. Like, you like to involve history in your
yes.
stories. Why is that, and how do you do that in the story?
Well, I'm going to take, well, I told you about this, the location where I live here, right? The mill has history and stuff like that, but let's take it one step further. My character, Callie, has visions, but a lot of her visions seem to shatter, and like she'll see them shatter, you know? And so she can't connect the lines and the pieces together, and it's explained in it. But the vision all along was trying to tell her something. Well, this is not necessarily a spoiler, but those visions lead her in book two to the actual location where there's a huge hidden secret, and it's called the Mound of Shards. Well, the Mound of Shards is in Egypt. It's an actual existing location. It's the catacombs. And so I studied all the history, how it was unearthed, why it was unearthed, how many bodies were buried there. I mean, just the whole history. And then there's like three levels to these catacombs. Well, then I found out in the lowest level, which is the third level, it's submerged by water. So I made a whole maze of everything that she has to go through in order to get to, let's put it this way, to solve the mystery in this. And I absolutely love taking this, but this, if you ever look up the Mound of Shards, it is really interesting. And I don't know if I'll get all three exact languages, but it is one location where they have three different languages and hieroglyphs on the walls in the in underground, that one of the images looked like Medusa. And so I twisted that to mean something. I don't, how do you say, there's so many remakes of stories of like Sleeping Beauty, oh boy, Snow White. I like to take things that have, whether it's mythical or goddess related or whatever, and try to work with it and correlate it into urban real life setting and ground it in something that you could kind of believe that is more
It
real.
makes it more interesting when you do stuff like that.
Well, and all the research that has to go along with it. I mean, I have books this thick, like of just how the layout of the school is to the catacombs, because they give diagrams on Google of how the catacombs were and stuff like that. And then I had to diagram my own. And even like this image here behind me, that is the map that I made of my interpretation of the other world. And the interesting thing is, this book wasn't like what usually authors create a world. I created two separate worlds within three books within thousands of pages. And so you've got a governmental system, you've got the social, I mean, it's just, I have such a deep passion for it just because I felt kind of like I was living it. But anyhow, it's
This sounds
fun.
so interesting. Amen. Amen. Now, prior to publication, are you going to put up a pre-order page or a page where your followers can
Oh
get
yeah.
little bite-sized tidbits of the books to generate interest?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I started a newsletter where I do give little tidbits of information now.
Amen. Amen. We'll get
So.
the link to that. Amen. What's one of the big takeaways you would like the readers of your books to receive?
Boy. That's an interesting question. Truly, honestly, I think that you could have a deep plot and a young adult book, character driven without sex,
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful.
without curse words, without the drama. When you've got so much danger in a series, you don't need drama or anything like that. It's enough, you know? But I think the other thing people need to take away too is that when you're an avid reader, you could learn so much through books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. You can learn so much through books
That's
that
true.
relates to real life. And so every book that you open you should be able to take away something positive from it. If it's a book that's not going to feed your soul, feed your heart, feed you with wisdom to have a better, more positive outlook on life, then put it down at the beginning.
Amen.
I
Amen.
mean, you don't need a book that's going to feed you with drama and stuff like that. I mean, I admit I've got drama, I've got violence, I've got
Oh
that
yeah,
stuff.
yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is you've got to have that hope. It just can't end in like
Right.
and dystopian. And I know there's some great dystopian authors out there, but it just can't end and just like, oh, why did I read that?
Yeah,
So.
amen. I've had some books like that where you're like, well, that was a waste of time.
You
Amen.
want to know that there's that you put
Yeah.
this time in it, that you're getting something out of it, that there's something great, you know?
I do
So,
have one more question I want to ask.
okay.
You have a dog named after a famous scientist. Is that right?
Oh, yes, Tesla. Yes.
Tesla. Amen. And
Yes.
you've included Tesla in your book.
Yeah, I have. Yep.
Has he done anything to shake the neighborhood, so to speak? You
No.
know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, yes, I do. My newsletter, I take it you read that. Did you really? Oh my gosh. That's my attempt.
Care to share that tidbit of history lore with our audience?
Go for it. Go for
No,
it.
you tell, you
Okay.
share.
Okay. Well, in my research, and see, my husband, he's a he's him and one of my other buddies from our writing group. I had to like pick their brain on science to add to this. And I wanted my character, Callie, to sound like she's educated, like she knows what she's talking about. But what? She's a 16, 17-year-old girl, you know? So she names this dog Tesla, right? And I'm not even going to
And
say.
you're not naming it after the car.
No,
All right,
no, no.
explain that. Explain that.
Okay, but I can't tell you what the device is, but I can tell you Tesla was rumored to have a earthquake device that he generated and created and stuff like this. And somehow, I think it was in Manhattan or something, but it shook the neighborhood or supposedly did stuff. But anyhow, and of course I put it to like, well, this is a legend and a myth or whatever, because I don't know if this is where I'm not physically there to know this. And my thing is always to get somebody to think outside the box. You know, that's what we need to do as people. We need to think for ourselves. But what would happen if this really was created and stuff like that? And
Amen.
so I just had a fun thing, and then I put in my newsletter, and yes, I did Google this because like almighty Google is honest. Anyhow,
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm just telling you, but I like to have fun in my newsletters. I'm a dog lover, but I want people to know that, you know, hey, I'm weird, I'm bubbly. That's just
Amen.
me.
Cindy, this has been so interesting. I can't wait to see your book out there, man. You'll have to let me know when it gets published, and I'll update the show notes and blast it back out. Amen.
Okay,
If
yes.
someone has a question, or they'd like more information, or would like to ask you a question, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Well, they could look at www.cindybrack.com and they could reach out. I have an email there, cindybrack7@outlook.com. They could reach out to me. Yeah. And I do answer my emails. I
Amen.
do look, I do answer my emails and stuff like that. So
Amen.
I
I'll
look
put
forward
links.
to exchanging, conversation with people.
Amen. I'll put links to all this in the show notes below. Amen.
Okay.
Folks, Cindy Breck, she's onto something here. I mean, we see television stories all the time taking something that happened in real life and then twisting it with fiction, right? It's about time authors started doing this, and I believe Cindy Breck is onto something. Drop down the show notes, reach out to her, get on the mail list so that you'll be notified of updates and the release of her books, and help her to get to number one when it goes live. Amen. Cindy, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today and share with us. I do appreciate your time.
I appreciate your time. God bless you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Cindy Breck and myself, it's Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.